God, we want to receive from you all that you have for us tonight, all your insights, all your love, all your mercy, and maybe some of us want to receive some of your spankings tonight. Maybe you're going to spank on some of us. Maybe you're going to let us know something that ain't right about us, and we just going to say we want to receive from you all that you have for us tonight. Thank you for this time. And as I speak in a little bit, guide my heart, guide my words to say what you want said, because your children need to hear what from you, not from me tonight. Amen. We talked last week in this Fresh Breath series that prayer and interacting with God is as natural as breathing, and God knows everything we're thinking. We can't offend God, and we need to be very real with Him. And sometimes when we naturally say to God what's on our mind, it's things that maybe aren't that complimentary to Him on the surface, but He's pretty secure. You know, He's pretty secure, and if that's something we need to say because it's healthy for our relationship, he can deal with that. Last week we talked also about how we can use our imagination. Excuse me, I have a little mint. There we go. That's gone. Talked about imagination, and man, I tell you what, I have gotten more emails from people coming out of last week of what happened in their relationship with God than anything I've ever done before. Interesting. Here's one of the emails that came in. As I was running this morning, we were talking about imagination. God's blessed us with an imagination to use it, and we can actually experience God through our imagination. We went through an exercise of that last week, and it says, as I was running this morning through Mount Lookout, I had a lot of things on my mind. I'm stressed with my job and a friend who is being tested for cancer, etc., etc. I decided to talk to Jesus about it and imagined him as a runner. As I imagined him right next to me, I felt as if all the stress was inside pouring out, and I started crying, and numerous past thoughts came to mind. I was bullied as a child, and all those emotions came out. I also could see my entire past fly before my eyes like a movie. And as I ran back to my house, I passed a blind woman who I said hello to. She perked up when I spoke to her. Jesus smiled. He also kicked my ass running up my hill to my house. Jesus would beat her. I'm sure. Absolutely would beat her. Now, let me talk about this. Someone's going, that's a great story. But there again, I got the ass. You just said that. What is that about? Two things I want to say about that. Couple things. No, seriously. This is. I'm serious about this. Listen to me on this. We're not here trying to promote any type of language or any type of words. We're not saying you need to say a word like that or that needs to be part of something that you think and say. But as a church, when we say real place for real people on the sign, we mean that. And if there's a word that you would use in your normal ongoing dialect, that word can be used in your relationship with God. And a word sometimes we think is, oh, it's bad, it shouldn't be used in church. Hey, if you think that word is bad, never use it. I personally have used that word. So if I think a word should never be used, I'll never use it anywhere else, or I'll try never to use it here. If I think a word I'll use on the back of my back deck, I'll use it here. And you know, it's no different from God. When we interact with God in a room like this that's set aside to be a church, or when we interact with God on our deck or as we're running, and we're trying to tear down this religiosity that many of us have about prayer and interaction with God that is keeping us from a vital, vibrant relationship with Him. And so today we're going to talk about the casual nature of prayer. What does it mean for prayer to be casual? I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. I went to this event, some dinner deal, and whoever was organizing the thing thought it would be a great idea to have everybody come in suit and tie. And so I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this thing in suit and tie. I'm all bummed out about this. I don't want to do this thing. And so I'm thinking it's just me and I have an attitude. So I go to this thing and we're with 10 other people and we are at this table and everyone is, that we're with is bummed out. And I'm talking people all older than me and some about around my same age, but older, you know, so it's not like an age thing. And interact with people and we realize, wait, if this event is for us and we're all being forced to wear something that we don't want to wear, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, some event organizer must like formal things. And he, she, it, they, whatever, thought it'd be a great idea to do this thing because they liked it. The only problem was the whole point of the event was everybody who was invited and all of us who were invited, we didn't want to be in any formal wear at all. Now think about that. It's very similar, I think, to how God interacts with us. When God puts on a party, God is not requiring formal wear. Now, if you're a formal wear kind of person, if you're a suit and tie kind of person, if that is who you are, then you bring who you naturally are to God with your natural button-up English and maybe some of your prayers that you memorize. And if it's coming out of the heart, if this natural formal thing is who you naturally are, God loves to hear from you in the language and dialect that you know if it's coming straight from the heart. But when we go to God and we think that we have to dress up and make our prayers real pretty and make everything formal and have the, oh Lord, if thee would have thine way and thou lifest, then howest whither I goeth. And, you know, we think that we've got to do this stuff and quote Bible passages and have all this formal trappings. We're mistaken because the whole point of prayer is God and us. And God is going, you're not impressing me. I want to interact with you. I want a relationship with you. I want something that's natural and casual. And everybody who is important in our life, we have a casual relationship with. People who are important to our life, who we don't have a deep relationship, we don't have a formality about our relationship. People who you are tight with, you are casual with. I think we have to learn something from Jesus. He is the greatest spiritual being, spiritual person, greatest person who ever walked planet Earth. And he comes down, and if he wanted to be all about religious formality, he would have come down as one of the high priests of the day. He comes down as a carpenter. Comes down as a blue-collar, casual guy. And then as he's speaking, he's a full-blooded Jew who is coming as the Messiah for the Jewish nation. You would think that coming with those kind of credentials, he would speak Hebrew, which he knew Hebrew, but he would speak Hebrew, the high formal language of the Jews. And he speaks in Aramaic, which is what average Jews were speaking around at that time. Aramaic. And then he goes away and his followers pick up where he left off and they realize that they need to be about other people and blessing other people. And they start writing what's called the New Testament portion in here. And it's a Greek-speaking world. And you would think it's Greek-speaking world, so let's do Greek. But they don't do classical Greek. They do Koine Greek. It's written in Koine. And Koine Greek is the slang vernacular on the streets. Classical Greek is the high, polished, formal language that people knew as well, but they write it in Koine Greek, which is the classical, casual. It's casual language. And we learn something about this with God. The more formal you try to get with God, the more it shows that you don't really know God. Because God wants to know you. He doesn't want to know your style, your systems, and your wrappings. He wants us to be casual and real with him. And when prayer is casual, it's continuous. When prayer is casual, it's continuous. It happens all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful, pray continually." Pray continually. Oh man, I got enough things on my to-do list. I got enough diapers I got to change, this I got to do, reports I got to get done, lawns I got to get mowed. And now I'm supposed to pray continually. What does that mean? I'm supposed to be a monk someplace? I'm supposed to be on my knees someplace? Well, think about this. The people you like and you interact with, you interact continually with them. Pray continually. When you have a casual relationship with somebody, you pray continually, all the time. You call them on your cell phone. You email them. You leave a voicemail message for them. You send them a note. You bump. You make sure that your paths cross, you know, as you go down the hall, seeing each other at the cubicles or at the work site. It's just a constant, continuous thing. You don't say, all right, I am going to set up a specific time to meet with my friend at 5:30 on Saturday night at church. And I'm going to talk with him there or her there, and that's it. No, you don't do that. It is a continual thing. We always can be praying and interacting with God. I was thinking about this last week. I was at the gym working out. I got done maxing about 300 pounds, 400 pounds, I think it was, on my bench press. I was... Why are you laughing about that? I don't, nothing. No. Anyway, I was there working out, and I was going to this one piece of machinery, the next piece of machinery, and as I was going, I saw this guy out of the corner of my eyes. He was older than me, at least a decade older than me, and he was down on his hands and knees. He had this like little uniform thing on, and he was cleaning the weights. He was cleaning the bars and stuff. And I didn't think much of it. I just sort of walked right by, and I had this casual prompting from God. And I feel like God speaks with me whenever I get a thought that I don't think that I would generate that Jesus would approve of. I've said that before, I'll keep saying that. God speaks to me, I know when God speaks to me, when I get a thought that I don't think that I generated that Jesus would approve of. So I'm going by and I see this guy, and I go, oh man, there's a guy who needs encouragement. So I go back to him and say, hey, I'm going to tell you, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. It makes a big difference when stuff is clean. You're doing a great job. Thank you very much. And I just went on my way. Guy's looking at me going, I bet no one's ever encouraged him before doing what he's doing. People probably thought, oh yeah, well that's what people of your profession do. And you know, therefore you don't need any thanks for it. Going through my workout and I'm like, you know, doing different stuff and I'm continuously praying. I think of people and I go, oh God, I hope they're doing all right. I mean, you know, help them. And praying, I'm looking in the mirror, doing stuff. I'm going, God, am I looking in the mirror too much doing this stuff? Am I like enjoying myself too much as I look in the mirror? You know, really, I think these things and I talk these things to God and all that kind of stuff. It's a continual thing. It goes on and on and on. And see, one of the reasons why many of us think that these prayers don't really count as much as prayers that happen in a formalized religious setting is because we've been duped. We've been duped. I realized that I had been duped after I got done taking my ordination exams in the seminary or in the denomination that I am or was ordained in. And I remember one of the guys let me in on a secret because why this book of order for the denomination required that a pastor always be there when communion is taken. So, well, he said, basically, it's the preacher's union. I said, well, what are you talking about? And so, yeah, it's a preacher's union. He was laughing about it. He didn't really prove it, but he said that's where it came from. We're a bunch of preachers thought up a long time ago, hey, if we make sure that every church has to have a pastor there for communion, or else communion doesn't count and it isn't real, then we'll be ensured that we always have employment. People ask me all the time, how come Cross doesn't do communion? We do communion, go home, have a meal. That was how the early Christ followers had communion. They would have this normal meal. It's called the love feast, normal meal. And every time they'd have a meal, and they would think, oh gosh, you know, as I'm drinking my wine or drinking my Pepsi or drinking whatever, I'm thinking how Jesus spilled his blood for me. As I'm eating my bread or eating this, I'm thinking how Jesus broke his body for me. And it was just a casual breathing and awareness of we're eating a meal. Jesus ate meals and he said, just as he drinks, we're to consume of his blood that he spilled. And just as we eat, we're to remember how he was broken. I remember that. Bam. Communion just happened. We do times of communion here. If you're going to go to our 24-hour prayer, there's going to be a specific time of communion there. We do that here regularly. But all I'm saying is this. If you think that you really can't have an encounter with God aside from a religious experience, you've been duped. You've been duped. Someone put a black tie on your God, and God does not wear religious black ties. He is a casual, incredible God who wants to have a normal, casual, interacting relationship with us. And so as I'm doing everything in my life, I can connect with God. As I'm doing letters, I sign a number of letters. Some letters that we do here in our church are form letters. I just put my signature. Oftentimes I'm doing, I see the names. I don't know the story behind the names. I put this my signature at the bottom and I go, oh, Jim and Sue. You know who they are, God, but I hope this church touches them. Boom, boom. Next one. And I can see and I can shoot up a quick thought and say, God, I hope this person is doing okay. Everything I do, everything you and I do, we can continuously and casually interact with God. Someone's going, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You know how I know that you can? Because everybody in here knows how to worry. If you know how to worry, you know how to pray continuously. If you know how to worry, you know how to pray continuously. Because something is on your heart, something is on your mind, and it keeps coming back, and you keep fixating on it. Except you fixating on it and you worrying about it never does anything. But when you think about something and you ask God to tap his power into that, it makes a difference. That's why the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So when you have this anxiety and you're worried about it, you say, God, And God says, like I said last week, Jesus says, I got that. I got that. Because I care for you. It's just a continual process. And not only is it casual, but casual conversation isn't just talking about generalities. It's talking about concrete things. When prayer is casual, it is concrete. There is a specific concrete thing that is said, a specific concrete thing that is requested, a specific concrete thing that is confessed, a specific concrete thing that is thanked for. It is specific. It is concrete. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18, says this, if I can find it, says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert with every kind of prayer, every kind of specific thing that can be prayed for. Be alert. Understand, I have a unique opportunity right now to interact with God. I had this, one of the other emails. I'm going to bore you with some things. I'm not going to bore you today. Hopefully you're going to get some stuff out of today. Hopefully you already have. This might not be one of those things where you go, oh man, slam dunk over the top. Man, I'm leaving here like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, there might just be like one thing that you get that is the kernel of sand that's thrown in your mind that turns into a pearl and revolutionizes your relationship with God. And so we're trying to do this through various means. And so probably if your relationship with God is not where you want it to be or where God wants it to be, it's probably going to be because there's an outage in one of these four areas. You're not being casual and continual, or you're not being concrete. And this guy sent an email my way after last week, after he went through this imaginative prayer exercise. He said this, yesterday and today I have felt God's hand at work in my life so clearly and distinctly that it is raising the hairs on my neck thinking about it, and it has almost brought me to tears. And this coming from a guy who only cries over spilled beer and bad calls during the Super Bowl. He goes on and he said there was four things that I prayed for concretely and specifically in my interaction with Jesus last week. He said one of them God answered in the atrium. Another one, he got a cell phone call on his way out of the parking lot and realized this thing, other thing had taken care of itself. And another one, a few hours later, he got another call and it was taken care of. And so he says this morning, and he said, I was floored. Well, this morning on my flight to New York City, I stared out the airplane window and reflected on how clearly God's hand was working in my life. Sometimes God's work is so apparent to me until I reflect back. I'm sorry, God's work is not so apparent to me until I reflect back on those specific moments when He was hard at work. God clearly responded to three of my four prayers on Sunday. Well, let's face it, three out of four is pretty amazing, and I can certainly handle a little stress in my life. When the cab dropped me off at the client site in Midtown Manhattan, I met with my boss over a cup of joe. Much to my surprise, he informed me that he had cleared my plate of that unnecessary and incredibly stressful work commitment that was the source of Sunday's fourth prayer to God. Amazing. God went 4 for 4 with four home runs in the last 24 hours. Not too shabby. The Reds should think about coming to next Sunday's service. Now, I'm going to talk in a moment that God answers every prayer. I don't like when someone says, that prayer was answered. I don't like when that prayer was answered. I say it sometimes under a certain understanding, but God answers every prayer. Every prayer. He says yes, no, or wait. Every prayer gets answered, yes, no, or wait. And this guy just happened to have all four of his prayers answered. Yes, and according to him, it's because of some of the things he learned and started to apply last week. This general, like, spiritual, you know, spirit speak doesn't cut it. This gradual sense of, okay, I am one with everything. I have to tap into all that is spiritual. No, that doesn't do it. It really doesn't. The idea is that there is a God who cares about you, has created you, and He has sent His Son to casually interact and to die for you. And through Him, you can have access to unbelievable things. And when we casually speak about the right things in a real way, powerful stuff happens. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade who's got these your spiritual convictions. And no, I don't need Jesus and I don't need this. I'm not telling you need to. All I know is this. Your prayer life is frustrating. That's all I know. I hate to be bold. I know that. I know you don't pray for things specifically that regularly happen. I know that. Because I know that there is a power when we come to God through the right person. And that's Jesus. And we confidently understand that He is the source of power and He can concretely intercede. When you pray casually, it's continual, it's concrete, and we are confident. We are confident that something can happen. We are confident that God is going to answer. God is going to say yes. Or if God says no, it's going to be because in the long run that is better for us or better for the grand scheme of things. Or He is going to say wait because there is tension and turmoil that we need before the situation resolves itself. But when I go before God, I am confident that the right thing will be done because I trust in God more than I trust in my understanding of what needs to happen in these circumstances. This is why it says in John 16, verse 32. Verse 25. In that day, I'm sorry, truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is Jesus speaking here. Some religious types oftentimes get on me because they say, hey, you know what? When you pray, I don't hear you say, in the name of Jesus, amen. I don't say it all the time. In the name of Jesus, amen. As if prayer doesn't get answered or God isn't honored unless I tack this thing on the end and says, in the name of Jesus, amen. The reason that is there is not because Jesus says, pray in my name, so tack on this religious formal saying at the end of your prayer. And if you don't say a formal thing, it doesn't happen. What Jesus is saying is, to know somebody's name is to know something about them. Those of us in here with the last name Smith, at some point in your family heritage, you had somebody in your name, in your family of origin that was a blacksmith or a coppersmith or a metalsmith. We know something about you by your name. And so what Jesus is saying is, when you pray in my name, when you pray in accordance to my core identity, when you pray according to what fires me up, you can be guaranteed that I'm going to be all about that and we're going to partner on that bad boy. That's what he's saying. When you pray in my name, according to my kind of thoughts, my kind of values, this is one of the reasons why it's so important to have some understanding of what Jesus was about and what's in the scriptures, because it gives us a sense of what kind of things should I be bummed out about. Can I tell you some of the things we're bummed out about? God isn't bummed out at all. At all. We think this is the end of the world, and God's saying, no, I'm using that because that person needs this for their spiritual formation. You're bummed out about something that I'm not bummed out about, so I'm not going to say yes to the thing you're praying for. Or the things that we are so convinced that God would want, and nothing's happening, God is saying, I really am not interested in that, because you're asking for something that's only for your selfish desires. And I'm just not about giving you one more thing so you can be self-sufficient and not need me. We could go examples over and over and over and over again. But what Jesus is saying is this. We can be confident that when we come before God, God hears. He'll respond the right way. And if we have got this relationship with God, we are understanding His passion for things. If you're passionate about it, look out. Something is going to pop. And it might not happen until you actually ask for it. That's cool. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Now, I have a person who I want to bring up right now who is sort of a prayer guru. How's that for an introduction? So I want to introduce you to a spiritual giant, my wife, Libby. Please welcome her up on the stage here tonight.
You're trying to earn some points.
Did I earn any points?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I just want to say it's Mother's Day weekend and Happy Mother's Day, day early to every
yes,
mom
that's right.
in here. And I think that all moms are really spiritual gurus because, I mean, boy, we, you know.
Well, in all honesty, that is why we brought you up. You are great. We're going to talk about your prayer life, which is fantastic. We can learn from. But it's such a good tie-in to Mother's Day, which, you know, don't forget, go home, do 1-800-Flowers.com. At least you can get them in, you know, 24 hours late or something like that. So anyway, talk to us about prayer. What's it like for you? What are you hearing here so far that's...
Well, I love this series. I think this series has... it has really helped me in my prayer life, especially talking about this casual, continual thing, because that's really a lot of how I pray. And I thought it'd be cool just to go through, like, kind of a day in the life of what I, how I think through my prayer life.
Awesome.
And prayers to God.
And as we do this, Liv's going to talk about some things that are unique to her as a mom. And we're not trying to lift her or our family situation up as the model family. We are not the model family.
Our life's just an open book, so we figured.
And some things that she has as a mom, her role as a mom in our family is not the way that every mom's role operates in the family, but it's the way that is real in our world. So let's talk about this.
Okay. Day starts. It's the morning, and Brian gets up really early, really early. This man, he really does do what he says, and his discipline and his prayer life happens in the morning. And so he gets up, and I lay in bed, and my first thought is, oh, God, it's so early. And I feel like, moms, in here, as soon as our feet hit the ground, we are running, and there's laundry to do, and there's dishwasher to empty, and there's lunches to pack. And so I really, for a long time, struggled with that morning thing, and I had guilt about that, and Brian's so good about it. So for a while, I actually did try to get up before my kids and have that, hour quiet time. And I realized I was really doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it because I felt guilty because you were doing it. And then I thought you'd love me more if I... And you do. You love me more when you see me, like, all spiritual.
sort of.
You do! He does. So anyway, I got over that.
I can't let that one go before you... I can't let that one go. There's no question that our marriage amps up in intimacy as we're both casually and intimately interacting with God.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I got over the guilt. I did. I don't do that. Like I will do that occasionally, but not all the time, not every morning. And so I feel like...
Yeah, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt get up in the morning... Or else you don't whatever. And I hear people talk about this as if, like, this is the 11th commandment. I mean, well, it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing, I do it, but this is one of the religiosity things we slap onto people that just is...
Or it may happen not maybe in the morning. Maybe it happens at a different time. But anyway, so I get up and we, get going with the day and the kids, it's always kind of a stressful thing to get everybody up and dressed and... clean and bed and all that and
spanked
backpacks
and all that stuff.
So occasionally there's a morning or two where it's very stressful and I've occasionally maybe overreact.
You can be honest
about getting out the door in time and that kind of thing. So so that does happen. We get in the car and I certainly apologize to the kids and say, oh, forgive me, I overreacted or shouldn't have lashed out like that. And then I say, Lord, forgive me. That was wrong. I was not acting in a godly manner, and just forgive me. So
this is a natural prayer of repentance. Just bam, comes out. It's
not every morning. Not every morning. There are
many mornings.
So anyway, we get going. You're not even there. But we get going, and we turn this corner on Eastern Avenue. We see a guy there. Nearly every morning I drive, we see a guy there who, if we're on time, or close to being on time, he's waiting for the bus. And I don't know this man, but we have a connection. The older gentleman, and big smile. I smile, he smiles, we toast our coffee, and I just said, shoot up a prayer. I say, Lord, heap blessings on this man today. Allow him to see you in some small way that brings him closer to you. And so it's just seeing somebody. And that's the same thing happens. We keep on our way and see another man that is coming from his bus stop going to work, we think. He's wearing a tie. And I look at Lena and I say, there's our friend. Now, I don't know, but we, both, and she'll even say, Mom, there's our friend. Are you going to pray for him? So do the same thing, kind of shoot up a prayer similar to the other gentleman.
And this isn't something where you're pulling over the side of the road, and you're like, you know, getting down on your hands and knees.
Oh, you can't close your eyes when you're driving. That's not a good idea.
It's as simple as a breath.
Yeah.
Simple as a breath.
Yeah. So we're on our way, and I'm kind of pushing the limit as far as, you know, how fast I'm going, because I'm trying to be on time. And so we pass a cop, and I immediately scream out to the Lord, "Sweet Jesus, have mercy! Have mercy!" And my kids are like, "Are you speeding, Mom?" I'm like, "No, just pray for mercy. Just pray for God's mercy." Then we look in the rearview mirror, and usually it works. But, that doesn't happen every day. But occasionally, you know, on the way to school, we see an accident, and that's very natural for all of us to just, you know, usually it's me. I mean, the kids are like in unity, but I'm the one that's maybe out loud, or even I don't maybe always do it out loud, but, you know, we pray for comfort on the people that are involved in that accident, or you know, just the ease, the anxiety of, we all know what that feels like when you're in the midst of that. Or we see an ambulance, we'll do the same thing. You know, we pray for comfort for the person being transported, or strength for the family that...
Now, last week we talked about specific things, being very specific. So you're giving us things that are, you pray specific. And this is just a normal day. All this is just like one example of one day that might happen. But there's also some other place, there's a specific place that triggers the idea to casually talk with God. Tell us about that one.
Well, it's my favorite because it is more specific. And we, on our way to school, there's one traffic light that we hit every day. And so we get there, and it's just an immediate response for us to turn the radio off and pray. And we do this little rote prayer, and it was something that my mom did when I was a kid, and I do it to my kids, but it's kind of corny, but it gets us in the frame of mind to think, okay, it's time to pray. And it's a prayer that goes, "Thank you, God, for the night of rest and for the morning light. Be with me all day long and help me to do right."
Amen.
But when they say it, you gotta do it like how they say it.
Amen.
But I know that, okay, they're like, okay, Mom's gonna pray. So, then I pray specifically for them. I pray if they've got a test, a quiz, if there's something going on, you know, with this specific thing in school that day. I pray that God would develop them in character and in their hearts be molded like His. We pray for the staff and the teachers at school. Occasionally, if we know, like, you and Brian are in a big meeting or have something big that day, because we carpool, so we pray for you guys. And the other thing is, at that light, to the right of that light, is a cemetery. And it's a cemetery that a good friend of ours had lost their son last year. Is it Vinny?
Two years.
And, you know, that's a reminder for us that we pray for the Bonnie family at that light. Not every day, but a lot of times we're reminded, you know what, Lord, you know, we just pray for comfort, for continued healing over such a difficult, difficult situation. So that's a specific spot. And then, of course, dinner and bedtime are usually specific, too.
So you guys, you know, we're doing this prayer, 24-hour day of prayer that we're going to talk about in a minute. But it's on this model called ACTS, and you basically pretty much hit on them. ACTS, four things to think about when you pray. A, adoration, just saying to God, complimenting Him. God, I adore you, I compliment you because I see you're this way, that way. A. C, confession. You confess, you know, example in the car, you know, things about, you know, flipping out on the kids unnecessarily. Sometimes it's very necessary to flip out on
it's
them.
It's always
sometimes
necessary.
It is, that's true. T, Thanksgiving. Did you have a example?
Actually, we always are thankful for a meal and that kind of thing. We do a pretty formal prayer then. But it was 2 days ago, I'm in my kitchen, and I was preparing meals. I was doing meals for, and I like to cook, number one, but I love my kitchen. I mean, it's a great kitchen to work in. It's very easy to work around it. So I had this overwhelming sense of thankfulness and gratitude for having a kitchen. And I thank God for that, and I thanked Him for you and for having a job that you love and that, you know, provides a kitchen like that for me, that you can do that. So yeah, that's, you know, there's a continual, actually, thinking about on the way over, our air conditioning's broke in the car. And I thought, oh, I'm thankful for air conditioning when you have it.
When you have it.
Because when you don't, you know it. And so there's just, you know, that kind of stuff that you...
And then supplication, things that we pray for.
We ask for. I have the blessing of living right beside the Wells, Nancy and Brian Wells. And you know, could you ask for better neighbors? And I love Nancy. She and I are good friends. And when you talk about asking for things, there's occasion, we all have them, when maybe something difficult is going on personal in your life, and you have that friend or two you can call and share that with, and Nancy's one of them. And so oftentimes, you know, we'll talk on the phone. Occasionally we've done this, and I'll say, what are you doing right now? Could you just pop over and pray with me about this? And you know, it takes 3 minutes out of her life or whatever, and she comes over, and we just lift this burden that may be holding us down or dragging us down and lift it up to the Lord. And it's amazing how that simple act of asking for something can really relieve, you know, the burden that maybe you're carrying around unnecessarily. Like the guy's email, kind of.
Yes.
So.
Okay, so... This big thought as you leave us here today, big thought as a mom or as a follower of Christ, what do you think is maybe the biggest thing that's holding people back from a relationship with God the way it was designed to be?
Wow. I think that we tend to think, some of us tend to think that only big things does God want to hear about, or God really doesn't care about, you know, some of the smaller things in that we go through in our life, but that I don't believe is true. I think
sometimes we feel selfish, like I can't pray for this because I know someone who's dying of cancer. So God doesn't want to be hearing my stuff,
right? And I think that's completely untrue. If we're called to have a personal relationship, like you said earlier, we interact on a regular, ongoing basis. And the other thought I would leave certainly to moms out there, since it's Mother's Day. Our legacy we can leave our kids is just, I feel so grateful that my mom was a praying mom and taught me so much of how to pray with my kids, when to, and just, she was a real example for me of the kind of continual casual prayer. And I love that we're kind of teaching our kids that. As a matter of fact, a couple things. One was, the other day in the car, we were on our way to a tennis match, and Lena was playing. And Brian had said, "Hey, have her call me. I gotta give her a couple tips before she goes on." I'm like, "No problem." Wonder what those are. But. So I have her call him, and I'm driving her there. And after he gave her his insightful coaching tips, she goes, "Hey, Dad, would you just pray with me before I do this match?" And I was like, "Oh." You know, it thrills me to see my kids tap into that power that's available to them. You know, and some of us think, well, God doesn't care about a tennis match, but he does. He cares about us, he knows us, and he wants to hear that stuff. Before I came here, I was dropping Lean off at something. We're, of course, running late again. And I said, hey, before you go in, real quick, just pray for me. I'm going to be on stage, and it's not like my deal, so just pray for me. So she's like, "God, thank you for this day, and help Mom when she's on stage." I'm like, "That's it? No, I'll take it. So the funny thing, I did the same thing with Jake. I got home, and Jake was at home, and I said, "Hey, could you pray for me about tonight?" And he goes, "What are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Well, you know, Dad wants me up there, and, you know, just pray for me." So he goes, "Oh, no problem." He goes, "Mom, or Lord," he says, "I just pray that Mom wouldn't embarrass herself in front of everybody. Nobody would be embarrassed by her." I'll take that.
That's good.
But I just love the fact that, you know, we can be specific in prayer for our kids. And as moms on Mother's Day, what a great gift to give them. And those can be specific, too. We didn't go.
Well, and what a great gift you've given us to do something that you don't like doing. Let's thank her for that. Confident, you know, it's funny, just Lib just talking about prayer, confident about it because knows how powerful it is. Last thing about casual prayer, When we pray casually, we take action. We take action. Never pray a prayer that you're not willing to be the answer for. Never pray a prayer that you're not willing to be an answer for. Because if you're feeling a sense of, oh man, I don't like this situation, and pray about it, well, God's maybe asking you to take action on it. As opposed to you criticizing if somebody isn't doing this or this isn't happening and you think it should, well, guess what? Go do it. Go do it. Maybe the reason why you feel that way is because God is prompting you and saying, I would like you to get this done. 1 John chapter 3 says this, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. There's confidence again. And we receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. So as we're interacting, as we're asking, as we're having our life honor Him, there's this power to it. I know that Liv and I, one of the big things that we wrestled with a few months ago was the people who were overseeing the CityLink Center, which is the initiative to build an infrastructure to really bring those in poverty to wholeness in our city that were about in the Crazy Campaign, came to me and said, hey, would you be willing to head up the whole funding piece of that? Me, you know, Brian, like, go home and tell Libby about it. And she's immediately, oh, absolutely, you need to be about that. And I'm sleeping and waking up like I start waking up like 2 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning. The exact same thing in my mind. That time I said, okay, God's putting this thought in my mind because I don't want to be waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's doing this. And so it's not good for me to just pray that we have this facility that churches all over the city use to bring those in disadvantaged circumstances to wholeness. It's not good enough for me to pray that. I know that as I pray that, I have to be taking action on that. And things that you pray about, God is asking you to engage. Because as you engage, it's where He is. And again, think of the casual thing. We casually hang out and do things with people we have a natural relationship with. I had this story. The guy who's actually running a video up there, he's kind of pressing things ahead, did this. There's another email I got this last week. Did this phenomenal deal. Oh, no. Oh, there it is. No, it isn't. Oh, here it is. Sorry, I was right on top. Where he noticed and tapped into this principle. And the principle is articulated very well by a spiritual formation guru in our country. His name is Dallas Willard. And Dallas Willard said this about prayer and action. He said, prayer is talking to God about what we are doing together. I like that. Prayer is talking to God about what we are doing together. So this guy's in a prayer meeting. They're praying together. And he finds out about a woman who I just met here face to face for the first time, who's part of our church here tonight, who's got 4 kids under 6. Yes, 4 kids under 6 and has some housing challenges that's making it difficult to raise kids in the house. And so as he's praying for this, God kind of prompts him, and he starts to interact with people, say, maybe we ought to do a little house fix-up for her. And so I think we have some slides of just how this has been happening this last week, of these people just converge on her house. And she sends this email. She says, you know, my children and I have been through a lot over the past 6 months. The reality of our situation has been challenging for all of us. The entire situation seemed impossible. Our house was one of the biggest problems. It was completely unlivable. No hot water, no kitchen floor, electrical and plumbing problems, unpainted walls, unfinished projects. Basically, an enormous mess. Well, I'm here to tell you today that a miracle has happened. What started out as a prayer at a Tuesday morning prayer group turned into the biggest miracle our family has ever seen. We're still speechless. One of these guys is an architect who designed the new kitchen, bought cabinets, bought countertops, and, no, not cabinets, countertops and dishwasher. This morning, my son Trey was sitting in his new kitchen eating his breakfast. He looked at me and said, Mom, we're so blessed. Children always speak their mind, and my son said it perfectly. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Although there are no words to thank you for what you have done for us, we just want you to know that you are loved by us and that we'll be praying for each one of you. So she says to everybody who showed up at that thing that day, which I wasn't one of them. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. This is what God invites us to. He does not invite us to come and sit in some religious receptacle and say nice, tidy prayers that are religiously correct and spiritually correct. He wants a fully orbed relationship with us that infiltrates absolutely everything we do, and he wants us to engage in this world with him. His natural, his breathing. Father, thank you. Thank you for being so close to us. And we ask you to come close, and you're already close, but you want to give us even a closer sense of your intimacy with us and your desire for that. And so hopefully today you've planted something in us that's going to turn to a pearl and maybe revolutionize our relationship with you. And I ask that that happens as we leave today. It's in your name I pray. Amen.